Today we want to talk to you about increasing our faith. And that's so important. Let's look at Luke 17. Did that couple come that we visited?
No.
Didn't come. No answer. Okay. Okay. That's all right. Yeah. You don't always get them the first time. I had a good visit with them. I spent some time with them, prayed with them, read the Bible, studied the scripture with them, and they both said they were saved. And so we'll just have to let the Lord lead them. But the witness is there. And all righty, Luke 17:5. Maybe they'll come next week on Easter Sunday, And let's look at Luke chapter 17. Look at Luke 17:5. And look what the apostles said to Jesus in verse 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our what?
Faith.
We're going to talk about faith today and maybe next week. I think we're going to talk about it next week too, but we'll see. And you can't never go wrong talking about faith anyways. It's what we all need. You need faith. You need faith to get saved. You exercise faith today by coming to church. By driving your car, Freddie, you believe that you would get to church from, you live about 25 miles away from here, 30 miles away one way, Freddie does. What's the name of that town you live in, Freddie?
Ellsworth.
Ellsworth. And that's around 25 to 30 miles, isn't it, from one way, isn't it, from here? All right, when you got in your car this day, Brother Fred, you exercised faith just by coming to church. First, because you had faith in the Lord to want to hear about his word. Plus, you had faith that you were going to get here safely. Think about it. You believed you were going to, you exercised faith, even though you couldn't see you here already. You're here now. But you just trusted that you were going to get here by faith. Okay. Now, if he thought, man, I'm going to get hit by a truck on my way here, I don't think he'd be coming. Hello? So everything we do a lot of times, everything we do, we exercise faith. Are you with me, church? Well, let's see what they said. In the verse 5, it says, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Brother Carey, I was reading this scripture, and it made me think, let's look at the first four verses there, and let's see what Jesus said to them. Then said he, Jesus, unto the disciples, it is impossible that offenses will come. In other words, you're not going to go through life, Brother Bruce. There's going to be trials and offenses and tribulation. And folks, we're not going to go through a trouble-free life.
Right.
Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're going to have a life full of roses.
Right.
Even a rose has thorns on the stem.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Now watch. He said, but woe unto them that whom they come. In other words, those people that do things against you, they're going to be judged. It were better for them a millstone were hanged about his neck. Wow. That's a pretty big statement. Put right outside there if you really want a real Bible study. Put Isaiah 54:17 outside there. Don't turn to it. I remember John, a dean of our school years ago, taught me this scripture. Isaiah 54:17 says this, no weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. It's a great scripture, Isaiah 54:17. In other words, go ahead, you go ahead and bad talk a Christian, God's going to get you. Amen? And look what it says. Verse 3, take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. Watch. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, seven times a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now keep reading with me. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Look at the next verse. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, Be thou plucked up by the root. Be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. I got two things out of reading those first six verses, Brian. Isn't the first four verses, Jesus is talking about tribulations, trials, people going against you. And then he talks about forgiveness, right? How many are with me? Come on now, stay with me. We're talking about, isn't it strange that the next verse, after Jesus said, if they do seven times, forgive them seven times, they said, increase our faith? So, and then in verse 6, he says, if you have the faith as a grain of mustard, you might say unto the sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, be thou planted, and it should be obey you. I saw two things here out of these six verses. Increasing our faith believes more, and increasing faith, having greater faith, forgives more. We want greater faith. I'm going to tell you, our bowels of compassion is going to have to open up more too. Before I have greater faith, my bowels of compassion has to be like Christ. Stay with me. I'm going to give you a thought. Never thought about this. Isn't it amazing? He's talking about forgiving. People go against you, and they said, Lord, increase our faith. Hello? Think about this. We're talking about faith now. Billy, when I trusted Jesus by faith, I believed that he would forgive me of all my sins. That's a lot of forgiveness. Greater faith will have more forgiveness. Hello? You're quiet. It's either maybe you're thinking. Say amen. Stay with me. Look at the screen. I want you to look at something with me. Go to Colossians chapter 1. I'm working on this forgiveness and greater faith. Colossians chapter 1. And look at verse 14. Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption, talking about Christ, we have redemption through his, that's Jesus, through his blood. We have redemption. How many can say amen? We have redemption through Jesus' blood. Amen. Even the forgiveness of sins. Are you still with me? Now watch. We know Christ's blood cleanses from our sins. Turn up one. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. And you being dead in your sins, which Jesus' blood cleanses from, are you with me? And the uncircumcision of your flesh that he hath quickened together with him, having forgiven you. What's the word? He's forgiven you all trespasses. I was with a man yesterday. He was talking about, so I'm amazed that God could, I said, he's forgiven you all of them. Every one of them. He said, well, I've done some bad things. I said, I'm going to tell you right now. Everybody's done bad, and God's forgiven you for every one of them. Amen. Notice what it says, that blood was shed, and how many sins were forgiven on the cross of Calvary? All of them. Look at verse 14 if you don't think he's talking about Calvary. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinance which is against us, which was contrary to us, and looked and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. All the sins, Brother Josh, of mankind were nailed to the cross with Jesus. Every one of them. Every one of them. Man, that's why when people get saved, you put faith. Man, I'm glad Christ had forgiveness for all our sins. Oh, man. It says in Hebrews 10:17, and your iniquities and your sins will I remember no more. 10:17 of Hebrews. Are you with me? Why don't you turn to Hebrews? So greater faith will believe more. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17. greater faith will believe more, and greater faith will forgive more. You can't get no greater than Christ. Amen? He wants, and what does, Tommy, what does the scripture teach us? The scripture teaches, Christ wants us to be like him. Did Jesus have great forgiveness? Then should we have great forgiveness? Amen. And so look at Hebrews 11. Stay in Hebrews. Come on, I'm going to share some scriptures with you in Hebrews. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. I'm sorry, 10:17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember what?
No more.
No more. There's a statement, preacher, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget. Forgiveness forgets. If you haven't forgot, you didn't forgive. That's the truth. See, Andy, there's things you and I have done in our life that we're ashamed of. But God's forgiveness, and not only forgive him, he forgot. Brother Kerry, we go up there and say, Lord, what's talking about? I forgot. I don't even know what you're talking about. Yeah. Yep, no, Lord, I'm talking about back there in 1995. Quit talking. I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea what you're saying. Now he forgave him. He forgot him. When you're saved. They don't know it. That's why we're teaching it. And because people should know this, because they get set free. That's why a lot of people try to get saved over and over and over. You can only get saved one time. Once you're saved, there's Elizabeth, a young Christian lady. God drives all the way from North Royalton, member of our church. So glad to have her part of this membership. Elizabeth, when you got saved, God forgave you of all your sins. Not just before you got saved, not just after, but till the day you die. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for every sin of mankind. Amen. Past, present, and future. You say, boy, can I believe that? Amen. Would you dare go and not believe God's word? Well, preacher, what sends people to hell then? Our sins of the flesh doesn't send anybody to hell. A murderer doesn't go to hell because they're a murderer. An alcoholic don't go to hell because they're an alcoholic. A rapist don't go to hell because they're a rapist. An adulterer don't go to hell because he's an adulterer. David was a murderer and an adulterer, and he went to heaven. Paul, the apostle, was a murderer. He killed Christians. Boy, if you could just get this, man. If Christians, the majority of Christians don't get this. That's why you got to take the book of Romans with me. Amen. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for all and every sin of mankind. The sins of the flesh were atoned for. What sends a man or a lady to hell is not being a sinner. It's unbelief in Christ. See, Christ died for all sins of mankind. And everyone that receives him gets eternal life. The ones that reject him, they go to hell because they didn't take the forgiveness that was offered. Look at John 3:36 there. I didn't have this planned. That's why I trouble when I get stuff like this, Carrie. I'm going to have you read it for me. Look at John 3:36. It's tremendous stuff. Who's got John 3? You got it, Carrie? Stand up and read it to them. Tell them where you're at. Yeah. Here's the thing. You can either take the gift of God, or you can just take the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. but the gift of God's eternal life. Christ has died for all the sins of mankind. All they got to do is accept what he did, take the free gift, and hallelujah, you're down, you're in glory land. But those say, no, I won't take it. I don't need Christ. Well, then the wages of sin is death. Not death, physical death, but eternal separation, spiritual death and hell, away from God forever. And so, if Christ can forgive us, our faith will enlarge to forgive others. We want greater faith, amen? And they have... yes, they do. And here's the reason why. Remember the Romans teaching? Oh, look at Romans chapter 10. Okay. Oh, boy. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Look at the script and I'll quote it to you. Look at Romans chapter 10. And I think it's verse 12. 12 or 11, yeah. I guess 12. Look, let me give it to you. For there's no difference. Is that what it says there? And Romans 10, 12. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Is that what it says?
Yep.
For the same Lord over all.
Yep.
Is that what it says there, Brian?
Yep.
And he's rich unto all, call upon his name. Give me that whole verse there. I don't think I got the last part.
Yeah.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
Oh, great. That's good. I can't help but I know it all. Okay, no. I better know it. I study it all the time. Look what it says there. Well, there's no difference between that Jewish person or the Gentile, the Greek. Are you with me? I know a little Greek. He runs a restaurant in Toledo, you know, called Yum Yum. But anyway, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. They got to be saved the same way. For the same Lord, it's written all upon the Jew and the Gentile have to get saved the same way. They have to come to Christ. Because Christ died for all their sins, just like he died mine. The Bible says God is a respecter. In Romans chapter 2, I think around verse 11, it says he's a respecter of no man. 2:11, I think. Somewhere in there. 2:6. I think it's 2:11. It says that God, maybe 2:10. Right there, there we go. It says that God's a respecter of no man. I don't care if you're Jew or Gentile. There's only, what is it? Thank you. 2:11. I was right three. So he's no respecter of no man. And so, how do they get a chance? They said, well, preachers are not taught. They have two preachers. Every person has two preachers. And I'm going to move on. But I do love Romans. Every person, I don't care if they're in Africa, in the darkest jungles. I don't care if they're in Poland. I don't care if they're in Russia. I don't care if they're in Spain. You put them anywhere on the planet. You want them. Every person has, when they're born, has two preachers to reach him. First of all, they have a God conscience that God is. John 1:5, maybe 1:6 says, he was the light, I think it's 1:6. He was the light that lighteth every man that cometh in the world. John 1:6. Josh, when you were born with a God conscience that God is, Josh, that light. Remember Jesus said, I'm the light of the world? Every person has got a dome light inside them. And if they'll seek more of Christ, God will reveal more to them. And eventually, he'll actually see the light of Christ. It's like that, these lights can turn up and down. The dimmer. The more you come to Christ, the brighter the light gets, the more you reveal about the Son of God. You get away from him, it gets dimmer. That's why it says, draw nigh unto God, he'll draw nigh unto you. The closer you get to the sun, S-O-N, S-U-N, the more light there is. Are you with me? Now watch. Every person is born with a God conscience that God is. And that's why Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he that cometh to God, here's what it says, must believe that he is. Must believe that he is. He's also rewarded them that diligently seek him there too, it says there. You see that? Then the second preacher is the creation. I want to preach on that today. Look at Psalms 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God. So you look up and look at the stars and the creation. I'm going to talk about the human body today. I mean, you've got to be in the Bible says in Psalms, Brother Kerry, 139:14, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Did you ever look at the anatomy of the human body? Do you know you have 10 trillion cells? Some say 50 million. No, I'm sorry. Some say 50 trillion. Others say 100 trillion. Who's going to, after so far, who cares after that many? If it's 50 trillion or 100 trillion. When you're up there, who gives a flip? I'm going to show you some things about your body today in my message. And any lunker that thinks that we just happened by accident, you think that there was a big bang and something formed, and then it got bigger and it got a tail on it and swam, and then it grew legs and walked out of the water, and then it got hands and grew up a tree and became a monkey. Those are the professors down at the college right down there.
Yeah.
That's right. And if you believe that, you're an infidel.
Amen.
That's what the Bible teaches. Listen, God, you look up in the heavens. You probably won't see it tonight because of the rain. A couple more days now when it's not raining out, you look up at the, especially summer coming now, look up some night and just look at all the stars. Oh, my land. The Creator made that. You don't have to tell a little kid there's a I see a little Titus back there. I'm going to tell you, little Titus, you look up some day and tell Eddie and Misty, where's God? Because he knows inside him there's a God. That's why you hear about missionaries going to these remote places of the world and they say, tell us about God. We've been asking God to send us somewhere. Just like that young lady that Mike got to come to church. Remember the gal that, Susan, that was here last week? Remember I kept putting tracks out? Her and her friend was here last week? And she came here Wednesday night and says, I don't understand it all, but I know God wants you to tell me about something. Tell me what God wants me to hear. And I did. He brought you to hear about being saved. She got saved.
Yeah.
You know? But I'm going to tell you, folks, it's in there. Everyone's got a chance. Two preachers. Okay. Now you got me off on that. But now let's get back. Let's tie that in. So, faith. By the way, that's how you get more faith. You take one step at a time. Amen? Now notice. Look at if we're going to reach new heights, we must increase our faith in God. Hebrews 11:1 tells us what faith is. Look at Hebrews 11:1. What is faith, preacher? Faith, I'm in Hebrews 11:1. How many got the scripture? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You're hoped for it, but you haven't seen it yet. You see it by faith. Amen? And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I've never seen Jesus, but I know he's there. I've never seen heaven, but I know I'm going there. Amen? It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the things not seen. Notice, look at verse 6. This is a great verse. I quote it all the time. I'm in Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. What pleases God? Faith. If you don't have faith, you're never going to please God. Look what it says there. But without faith, and that's what we're talking about, enlarging our faith today. But without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible. I don't care what you do. If you don't have faith in it, God's not pleasing it at all. A lot of people do a lot of things in life, But I'm going to tell you, and they say, man, I'm doing it for, no, if that's not by faith, God doesn't recognize it at all. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's why it says in Matthew 7:21, right down through there, it says, Lord, don't you remember, he said, I did all these wonderful, many wonderful works. I never knew you. They did it in the flesh. They didn't do anything in the faith. Are you with me? But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That said John 1:1, that light, every light that cometh in the world. By the way, and according to that light, by the way, Matthew 5:16 says, if that light that, I'm correct that. I can't, six. I can't pull it up now. It's Matthew for sure. I think it's 6:16. It says, if that light that be in you, if that light that be in you be darkened, how great is the darkness? It's Matthew 6:23, I think. Look up there and see if I'm right. I really want to quote that verse. Right? I can't believe I can't pull it up. What is it? Is it 23? 6:23. It says, if that light that be in you, which is John 1:6, that you were born with, that the God conscious that God is, if that light that be in you be darkened, and how you darken it? By saying no to God. That girl I met in Ramada Inn there when I checked in, she said, I'm a pagan. She's darkened that light. I said, you won't be a pagan when you die. She won't. She'll be a believer, but she'll be a believer in hell. But the more people say no to God, they keep putting that dimmer switch darker, darker, darker. That's why it says, in Romans, when we study about the rational sinner, it says their foolish heart was darkened. Remember that in the class? Oh, it's amazing. If you could get this truth that I've got from Dr. Brooke in my heart about how man stands before God, it'll set every person free. I'm telling you. It's all there. And once you got the truth, when you can see it, wow, it really makes a lot of sense. Yeah, it's Matthew 6:23. If that light that's in you be darkened, how great is the darkness? You can put the light out. Okay. But without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I want to have more faith, don't you? Amen. And the way you get more faith is you seek God. You believe God's word, you draw nigh to him, and God loves to see faith. By the way, faith pleases God. Unbelief displeases. If faith pleases God, then what does unbelief do? It displeases God. Amen. And notice the demonstration. Look at your paper. We're near the top yet. Hold on to these papers. I don't think I'm going to finish it today. Don't lose them. I think we're going to do this next week, too. Demonstration of faith pleases God. Read Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10. God loves to see faith demonstrated. I gave you some illustrations here. I'll tell you, I love studying God's word. It's fun. Mildred, I don't care where I'm at. Put me in Genesis or Revelation. It's so much fun. Go ahead, put your finger in any part of the Bible. Brother Brent, I'm ready to rock and roll. It's fun. Amen. We'll have fun till our Lord brings the rapture wave. It comes and brings us up. Amen. Takes us up in the rapture. Then we'll have lots of fun then. Amen. Notice in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion. Now, man, a centurion means a man that has 100 people, centurion, 100. Are you with me? He had 100 men underneath him, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Watch verse 7. I circled some words there. Jesus said to him, I will come. Just that alone is tremendous. And then heal him and heal him. Notice what he said. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. In verse 7. The centurion answered, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. I love this. Lord, you don't have to come. I believe you're so great. You can just speak the word. Lord, you just speak your word, and I'll believe it to be done. Hello? We're talking about faith demonstrated. When we read the Bible and God tells us to do something, we ought to act upon it in faith. Say, Lord, you said it. That settles it. I'm going to step out in faith and believe it. Hello? Be quiet in here. The centurion answered, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and go, he goeth. Another, come, and he cometh. To my servant doeth this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. Wow, that's pretty big. That man had a lot of faith. God, you just say it, and I believe it. You don't have to come and demonstrate. Lord, you just speak the word. I'll just trust you. It's going to be happen. That's great faith. That's the kind of faith we ought to have when we pray. When you pray and ask God to do something, unless you really believe he can do it and will do it, I wouldn't even pray it. Carl, when I pray for people to be healed and for God to do something, I really believe he's going to do it. Matter of fact, I'll give you an illustration. My grandson, he played a basketball game last week. Well, he had a couple of them there right at the end there. They had tournaments. They went all the way to the end. And I prayed, Lord, help Austin get 4 points. At least poor Austin, he gets in there. He's not afraid to rock around. I told David, I said, David, I prayed today. I'm not sure you're going to win. But I asked, I couldn't get peace about that, but I said, I did ask God to let Aussie at least get 4 points. I know it's trivial, but he's my grandson. And 4 points ain't nothing, but 4 points to a little kid is a lot. And so I called him, I said, did you win? He said, no. I said, how many points did Aussie score? He said, Dad, he didn't score any. I said, wow, I can't believe that. Because I asked God to at least give him 4. And it really troubled me. Hello? Because, Bobby, I just believe when I ask God to do something, that it's going to happen. Maybe because it was fleshly. Hello? But, I think a lot of people pray. You pray, you say 1,000 words, and you don't believe 1 word you're praying. I'd rather say 5 words and believe every word that I say. Listen, folks, God's looking for people with faith. God's looking for people that believe him. That centurion said to the Lord, can you imagine that, Brian? He said, Lord, Jesus, I'll come and heal him. That's all he had to hear. He said, you told me all I need to hear, Lord. Just speak the word. He's healed. Isn't that amazing? That's the kind of faith that God wants to see with you and I. I noted something here. The Lord is looking for people with that kind of faith that will trust him and trust his word. Do we have that kind of faith in God's word and promises? The Lord speak the word. Look up here. When you read this Bible, this is not man. This is God. We need to handle this as it's holy, as from God, which it really is. And when we see where the source comes from and who's saying it, the older folks know what I'm talking about. Josh, you might not know this, but your dad does. When I was a young guy like Josh, there was an old saying that doesn't hold no truth no more. You can take it to the bank. You got my word on it. You can take it to the bank. You didn't have to have lawyers and contracts and stuff. A lot of times people, years ago, they a handshake and said, I'm going to do this. You can take it to the bank. And, boy, your word was as good as gold. You better get a contract. Better get in writing now. Well, I'm going to tell you, God's word, you can take it to the bank. You can believe every word. This word will never fail you. God will His word will never lie to you. You can take God's word to the bank. It's true from cover to cover. Amen? And so, and God's looking for a bunch of Christians that'll read His word, get excited about Jesus, and believe Him. God, you said it. I'm going to trust you. We're going to do it. He says, go out. He said, I want to make you fishers of men. I want you to go. I want you to become the greatest thing I care about is soul winning. Lord, I can't speak to no one. I'm too shy. Ask God. Lord, you say you'll help me. You took a bunch of fishermen and turned the world upside down with those fishermen. Hello? If He could use them, He could use us. Why don't we get great faith to go soul winning? Open our mouth. You say, well,